We're going to look in and we're dealing with the gospel and the will of man. We talked about the last time I taught, it was 2 weeks ago, and we're going back over to Romans, the 10th chapter again, because we want to look at something concerning, because we're talking about the gospel. We need to understand the gospel is preached. The gospel is, the whole thing is trying to reach the will of man. That's what it's about. Reach my will. It's what I want to do. Am I going to respond to this? So it's everything in life, you realize, is the power of your will. I mean, anything you do. I mean, I hear people, say about, getting up and, it's so hard to get up and go to work. They got a will problem. Weak-willed people, they're always, their flesh drives their will. I got to go to work. I got to do this. It's one thing I said a long time ago. In life, I liked getting money. So I found out you had to go to work. And I thought, live a good life. I need more money. And I found out that a lot of times that it was better getting up and going to get the money than the sleep. Than laying there longer. Because you lay there long enough, you ain't got no money. And you don't want to ever wake up because you need money when you're awake. But it's a will. What you set your will to? Your life is set by your will, not by somebody else's. It's by your will. It's set by your will. And so you need to understand that. Right now we have this thing in our nation, all the complaining going on about what other people are doing and the government's doing. We're letting other people drive our will. I don't have them control whether I'm happy or not. That's by my will. I determine whether or not my day is going to be made because they're on there, they're doing this and they're doing that again. I don't like what they do. But number one, I'm not losing sleep over it. I ain't worrying about none of it. If God ain't bigger than us, He claimed He was something. If He's not, well, what's the point? If God can't, take care of me, He's not who He said He was. And so you got to get this in your mind. This is about our will. Am I going to yield my will to Him or I'm not? Mm-hmm. See, we're going to find this today looking at things. There's some things Jesus said about the will concerning His own disciples. And see, we need to see these things because what happened? We need to take control of what am I going to believe? Where am I going to walk? What am I going to do? What do I do about this thing, this will I have? This thing, great thing that God gave me that really is about what I'm like Him. A phenomenal thing. I'm a spirit being, but that ain't enough. Angels are spirit beings and that stuff, but we're the spirit being with the will. We have a choice of what I'm going to do. In this earth, God gave you and I. This is a phenomenal, it blows my mind. It's sort of like handing a 2-year-old a gun. God put us in the earth and gave us authority to what goes on in this earth by our will. And He gave us the authority. I thought, dear God. Man, I wouldn't trust most people with a rubber band. They'd probably hurt themselves. I want you to think about this. What God has given man, it is a phenomenal thing. To whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Heaven will get behind whatever we do here. We're the beings. God set mankind in here. Now, mankind was under sin, and this is where the gospel comes. Man under sin, he can't follow God. When you were a sinner, you couldn't follow God. I don't care how you tried. I get around religious people and they say, you can't follow God. You're going to follow sin. Your nature is sin and you're going to follow the nature you are. Mm-hmm. We get born again. You and the most wonderful thing God gave you is your freedom and it ain't been to vote or live in America. The greatest thing He gave you was now you can freely follow God where you never could before.
Amen.
That's your freedom. That's the freedom of the Christian. If the Christian would learn that and get away from the American Constitution junk, thank God for our Constitution. But look, folks, you can't live a good life over the Constitution. Boy, don't we prove that today. You can't. But you walk in the light of the Word of God as a born-again human being and live in that light, you can live in a place that you can follow and walk with God and do His will. A phenomenal thing. When Adam sinned, never was the same. Hallelujah. Jesus come to set things in order that even Adam did not have. People say God pulled us back to where Adam was. No, He didn't. He took us beyond Adam. Adam won sin and he was out. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ did a redemption on man that was greater than what man was created in the earth. Hallelujah. You and I miss it. We can get it fixed. Hallelujah. We're in a phenomenal place. You know, but people get in their mind, we're back to where Adam was. No, I'm in a better position than Adam. Adam would have loved to have been in my position. Hallelujah. He'd love to have been in your position today in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. You're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Glory to God. You're more than a conqueror. That's us today in Christ Jesus. And this is why we want to go after people with the gospel. Is in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 8. It says, what does it say? It says, the word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. And he said, that is the word of faith which we preach. It's in your heart and in your mouth. In other words, dealing with the areas of faith. The word of faith which we preach. We need to know as believers. That's where the word needs to be in you. In your heart and in your mouth. In your heart ain't enough. In your heart ain't enough. Your heart is going to produce nothing without your mouth. Your mouth will determine what you're going to have. Not your heart. If your heart can believe the right things, you're talking the opposite stuff, it won't produce. No, I don't care what you believe. It doesn't matter. You can believe in Jesus all you want. What's your confession about Jesus? What's your confession about Jesus in your life? What's your confession about what He's working and what He's doing? What's your confession? What is it? That's your faith. Faith ain't just of the heart. Jesus, I teach you on three parts of faith. Most people get stuck in that place. Well, I believe this. Well, I don't care what you believe. What you've been saying about what you believe. There's where the rubber hits the road. That's where it's at. Hallelujah. Thank God for believing your heart. But you know what? I'm just going to tell you this, and it's a fact. If what you believe in your heart, you don't hardly ever talk. After a while, you'll quit believing it. It'll slowly wane away. It'll slowly wane away. Hallelujah. You keep your faith in your voice. Glory to God. Word of faith. He said that this, what? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and it should be translated, confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'd be saved. In other words, this believing in Jesus in your heart and making a confession. You know, I confess my salvation all the time. When your salvation, you got to keep it alive. Amen. Now, Christians, you'll get in a mess in your life, and after a while you wonder, my God, am I saved? I don't ever go there. Why? Because I tell you, keep your confession. You know, the simple things of confession people don't keep. The simple things that keeps you going, because the devil will always question you or get you to question your salvation. Right. Well, if you're a good Christian, you'd have never done that. Right. He'll throw those things. You mess up and he be right on you and he'll send 10 people to your house to tell you. But if you haven't been that person, you know what? You'll start doubting yourself. You'll start getting into doubt. You'll start wondering about you. He'll start nipping at your faith. And after a while, you'll wonder if your confessions will produce anything. You'll pray and wonder if God's hearing me because I'm such a bad person. I messed up. I did something wrong. Surely, surely, how am I going to fix this? Then you'll get real religious. And the devil will lead you right to religion. How are you going to fix this thing? Now, maybe if I do all these other things nice, then God, I'll be all right. First thing He'll do is carry you to works. Oh, Christians love to get to their works. They love to get... You know what? I'll tell you what, without faith, your works ain't worth spit. Your works ain't worth spit. One thing you want to maintain always is your faith. You want to maintain your faith. That's the place you want to go. You set your will on what the Word of God says. If you miss it, now, number one, most people don't have the trouble with getting forgiveness from God. They never forgive themselves. Mm-hmm. That's where it goes. They walk around, let the devil torment their mind about what they did, and they play his song over and over and over again in the top 40. You know, that's what that song is running all the time. You know, right next to Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. You know, and you'll go down it, and that song will play, and that song will play. They don't forgive themselves. See, this is one thing that faith does. Faith builds you in strength. Faith builds you in the Word. If I confess my sin, He's faithful and just forgive me. That's it. And then somebody comes along, well, you know, do this, do that. You can just, you know, smile, pat him on the head. Just say, the devil, shut up. Go, get out of here. God forgave me. Hallelujah. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I am. See, your faith got to work. Because, see, all you're praying and you do after that, and I see people, they've been praying for years and they've been getting nothing out of it. Because they're living under guilt all the time. Yep. They don't have confidence toward God. Living in guilt. And it's never, they say, yeah, well, God forgives you. Yeah, I know that. But when are you going to say, hey, it's all right, He forgave me. Let's get over this thing. I got to stop my nonsense. Mm-hmm. I got to stop what I'm doing. I got to quit where I'm at. Hallelujah. Get over and believe He forgave me. Glory to God. And start acting like I'm righteous. Amen. Instead of, well, yeah, but I messed up. Well, get over you. And really what it is. And we have a hard time with that today because of the culture we live in. This self-centered, self-bit, you know, loves to put everybody's problems out in the open and everything going on and living with this and people are doing it. It's like, get over you. Hallelujah. You can't live by faith in that. You can't walk in those ways and those thinkings. You can't live like that and have confidence toward God. Hallelujah. We need to stay confident toward Him. Here's one thing. I'm not sure about me sometimes, but I'm downright positive about Him.
Amen. Preach.
I'm positive about Him. Me? Well, sometimes, you know. But Him? He is what He is and He ain't nothing else. Hallelujah. He's as good as the book says. He's as wonderful. He's as powerful as the book said. And I'm staying on it. I'm not going to move on to what He says He forgives. That's the end of the story. I don't need some other. I don't need something else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take His. Well, confessing Jesus is Lord. This is the big thing. Making Jesus Lord. And we want to look at that today. Is in that idea. Is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our submission of our will to His Lordship is a powerful, powerful thing. Folks, that's the success of the Christian life, is our submission to His will. That's the success. You can go into anything else and talk about other principles, but every principle falls down to this. Our will submitted to His. That's where it all lies.
Amen.
Not my needs or my wants. It's I'm submitted to His will. I'm convinced of this. If you're submitted to His will, you can get anything.
Amen.
This is where most people, and over the years I've watched, I'm a reserver of people. I like to watch, you know, people can say anything they want. I watch what they do and I'll tell you how things are going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what they do. And you go along in life. There's one thing. People submitted to the will of God are always successful. They have good lives. It doesn't mean they're driving a Ferrari and they're doing, but they have lives. They're people who have confidence. They're people who have, they know God. They're walking in the will of God. They're not Mr. and Mrs. Doubt. They're not in that place. They're submitted to the will of God. You know, there's one thing is, I always admired concerning my parents when I look back over, you know, I was 30 years old when I got saved, but my parents as Christians, they didn't know a lot of things that is scripture that I know, but there's one thing, their love for God and their idea, you know, they were submitted to God. I mean, from what they knew, they're going to, you know, my dad, you know, you could take him out, you tell him if he had a turn from Jesus, they were going to kill him, he'd say, get the gun out now. You know, let's get the shooting going because we ain't, they were just so submitted. They were submitted to what they are. They're going to walk in it. They're going to live it. And they did. They lived what they believed. You know, some of it was a little flaky, but I'm sorry. They at least lived what they believed. One of the greatest compliments that I ever heard is my wife said to me, because my two daughters were talking, and after, you know, this is maybe back about 10, 15 years ago, they said, one thing we can always say about Dad, he always lived what he said he believed.
Amen.
You see, to me that could have been never a better compliment.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I always looked at my dad always lived what he believed. That's when I got to be a Christian, it's one thing I look back and admired my father. He always lived what he believed.
Amen.
You could count on what my dad would tell you by my dad was more reliable than the sun. He was, because sometimes you can't always see the sun, the clouds there, but what he said he's going to do, cloudy day or whatever, he's doing it.
Amen.
He's right out in front of everybody, he'd do it.
Amen.
That's what he was. And I admire that. And really, that's a great quality we have today. He had a very strong will toward God and toward the things of God and what his beliefs. He had a strong will toward that. That was developed in the Word of God.
Amen.
You need to get that. People with weak wills. I never met somebody who is really a person of the Word and stuff like that with a weak will. Never met one. People with weak wills is because they're not doing anything to develop their will. You can make your will strong. I found out by getting into the Word, developing myself, my will becomes stronger and stronger and my belief in it becomes stronger. That's what you want to do. You want to develop in that. The Lordship of Jesus, putting somebody over yourself to govern you.
Amen.
See, I don't know. I always think I need a Lord. Ed needs a Lord. I don't need to be Lord. I tried that. Didn't do well. I need a Lord. You need to know that about yourself. You're not so great. You need somebody great over you that you can be submitted to, that can look after you and give you wisdom in life about what to do. You need that. See, this is a hard thing today. See, we've lost it. This is why our Constitution can't work. It can't work. It's impossible because most of the people in our nation are self-centered and selfish. They're going to follow whatever they want to do. They're going to vote for what they want. They don't care about the next guy, what they want, when they want it, and they're doing this thing. It can't work. Our Constitution in the beginning worked because people's wills were set in a different manner than they are today. They were set different. We looked in the history of our nation, people's wills and how they set. Today, people, they are. Mike wrote about talked about the things about what people are going to be in the end times. Well, we're living in the middle of it, folks. Lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. I mean, it's in the church world. Lovers of themselves more than the lovers of God. Why? What happens? Deception comes. Mike was talking about deception. People start getting deceived. They keep hearing messages about, well, it's just about you and Jesus. Well, the you and Jesus thing came down to this is mostly you, a little bit of Jesus. That was a good thing to say. It's all about me. That thing started, sounded pretty, but it wasn't what it was talked to be. It was something about, it's just me and Jesus. I never met a person who wasn't self-centered and talked like that. Never met one. It isn't about just me and Jesus. There's more people in this world than Ed Gibson.
Amen. Preach.
It's about me and Jesus and the rest of society. Hallelujah. We're called to preach the gospel of the world. Mm-hmm. And so we need to walk in the light of these things. Hallelujah. Well, in Romans 10 verse 11 says, the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. It says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. Do you see, who's he? For the Lord, the same Lord over all. See, that same Lord, he's supposed to be over. He's supposed to be, understand, Jesus is over everybody. But not everybody submitted to him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about yourself. Sometimes I find myself having a hard time to submit to certain things. And you ain't ever been there. You're going to have to do consecration often. And if you don't, you probably don't follow the will of Jesus much. Because in life, I found out, I have to stop and say, well, Lord, your will and not mine. Mm-hmm. And many times I have to come back and do that again because I still do. get over yourself. It don't matter. But we have to do that consecration of the fact, coming back to that place. He's Lord.
Amen.
And he's Lord over all. Now, after the tribulation's over, everybody's going to find out he's Lord over all. Mm-hmm. They're going to find that. But I want to tell you what he's looking for now is people who willingly make him Lord. Willingly, by their own will, they submit and say, you're Lord, you have a right to speak over my life. You redeem me. You have the right to tell me. You have the right. Yeah. Do you ever tell him he's got the right to speak to you and say what he wants to do? Amen. He might not want to do that. He might send somebody and say something to you he didn't want to hear. You know what? I just tell him. If I need said, say it.
Amen.
Yep. I need to hear. Why? I want success in life.
Amen.
I want success of walking with Christ. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people, I'm just going to tell you this. You don't have to follow the principles of the Bible to have money and to do stuff. You don't have to do that. You just play along the game with most people. They'll take you along, carry you along today. Help you get all kinds of stuff, doing things, play along. People, I see Christians do it all the time. They walk away from the will of God because they follow the will of man. Look at it. We got secret friendly churches that got 20,000 people in them. People following their own paths and own lives. But see, we don't like to deal with these kind of things. We don't like to. You can. See, that's what a lot of people do. But what happens? It's easy to get self-centered. What's going to work for me? You don't have to deal with that?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
We have to deal with those things. Yeah, this would work good for me, but what about somebody else? What about that? How's it going to work for my wife? How's it going to work for somebody else? How's it going to work? Mm-hmm. Stop. Most people don't even think 10 seconds about it. Most Christians don't. Well, this really sounds good. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. Christian, all my Christian walks, I watch Christians all the time say, hey, don't commit. Say, I'll do this or I'm going to do that. Next thing you know, they ain't doing. Something else came along and they said, well, this here came up, so I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to do that. Well, they do. Whatever gives me in my will at the time and helps me, that's something that makes me feel good and feel good. That's what I'm going to go do. I want to learn this from my father. My father would have never done that. He'd have never. I don't care if somebody offered him $1 million to go somewhere. My dad would have done what he said he was going to do.
Amen.
He would have. That's my dad. My dad helped save my life. When I got born again, I asked God, why did I get born again? Why? All the people around us, people numb, people died, people I knew killed in car accidents, good and all this stuff. I said, Lord, how come I lived and they didn't? I was worse than some of them. I was much worse than some of them. He said, you're alive because your father, he walked righteous before me. See, people are all around change. They don't walk and live righteous. Don't be surprised. It'll affect your offspring and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Woo!
Great preaching.
Good preaching. Mm-hmm. It affects. Thank God, my dad was a man of his word. He walked righteous before God. I can look, somebody else helped save my life.
Amen.
Thought more of doing what was right. See, doing the will of God blesses other people.
Hallelujah.
Everybody wants to bless somebody else. They think they do it by praying for them. If you ain't going to live right, don't bother praying. Get down to the bar and have a drink. You'll do just as good. If you're not going to live by the word.
Amen. Preach.
Now, this is good preaching, folks, because we want to look at what Jesus said. It'll take a little hide off of you. Ouch! Look, folks, I've read it before you, so you... Hallelujah. But we're called to call on that name. Well, see, we're calling on that name as a Lord. That's what we're called... That one, that name can save you. That's the name you need to live under. That's the authority you need to live under. Salvation's under that name. Now, I want to go this morning because we want to look at something here that, from a scriptural standpoint, I want us to go over. First, I'm going to read. We're going to Luke, the 6th chapter. But I want to verify because an area of scripture that is used a lot in the teaching on the areas of faith. But we're going to look at it in its context. And, because many times it is not taught in its context. What we want to lay down is in Luke, the 6th chapter, I'm going to start reading from verse 17. And I want to read from there because we got to set the table to who Jesus is talking about. Now, we're going to read. I'm going to start verse 17. And it says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples. Now, it didn't say his 12. It says a crowd of his disciples. See, Jesus had more than 12. Father. Here we find there's a crowd following him. It says, and a great multitude of people. So there was a crowd of his disciples, and there's a multitude of people. See, there's different. There are followers. Boy, we have this in the church world today. There are disciples, and there's people who follow around to try to get blessing. There's followers, and there's people who try to get blessing. There's a difference. Jesus said, go in the world and make disciples. He didn't say, go in the world and make believers.
Amen.
God's interest in... See, disciples are the ones... When Jesus said, many of my people won't be ready to meet me, every disciple will be ready to meet him.
Amen.
Every disciple is going to be ready to meet him. But there's many believers. Oh, they believe he's something. They believe he's this. They believe he's that. This is good preaching, folks.
Amen. Great preaching.
Hallelujah. So it says, from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And it says, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for the power went out from him and healed them all. Now then something happened. Listen to this. Verse 20. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, and what it begins, it says, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, see, we do this thing. They teach the Beatitudes. They call them Beatitudes. Well, he said more than Beatitudes. From there till the end of the chapter is all the things that Jesus said. And what did he do? He said these to the disciples. He didn't speak it to the crowd. It wasn't, the crowd heard it, but it wasn't for them. Do you know there's much that Jesus says and the Holy Ghost reveals is for the believer. It's not for the crowd. It's for the disciples. Mm-hmm. I've learned this a long time ago. You know, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher to disciples. The crowd can come and listen, but they'll go home the same way they came. They go home and they, you know, they did their things and they're going. They aren't disciples. They, you know, Jesus is on a certain service. At least we got a lot of honesty now. Now loads of them admitted they ain't even disciples. They don't even come to church. So, they finally admitted it. They ain't following this. They're not doing it. But don't get upset. You know, a lot of this, God's dividing things up.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, these last days, you're going to know who's in and who's out.
Amen.
Glory to God. But I want you to see this because Jesus goes over, and we're going to jump down. This is Jesus. He gives a discourse. The Lord wanted me to minister this here because of this is our will and doing the will of God. In verse 46, he said, now listen, he's talking to his disciples and he says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?
Amen. Preach.
Now look at it. He said this. This was said to the disciples. He looked at the disciples and his discourse was looking at the disciples. He's saying, why? Is he trying to just be mean to them? No, he's going to try to tell them. He's going to give them the things we teach on the areas of success. But you know, we teach them, we don't really teach it from the standpoint of, you know, where it came from. Mm-hmm. We teach them, well, this principle, and like, you know, the guy, you know, didn't build his house on a rock. He's some kind of unbeliever out there. No, no, he's talking to disciples. See, I know people today, I know Christians, they go to church. They so-called love Jesus and that stuff, but they're not going to have any success in Christian life. They're not going to have any success at it. Mm-hmm. See, we can't call him Lord and not do the things he says. Jesus said this. Think about it. This is a quiz question Jesus asked. And so we have to ask ourselves, why do I call him Lord? Why? If I don't do what he says, why do I bother calling him Lord?
Amen.
Why? Because there is no virtue in help in it if I'm just calling him Lord and not doing what he's saying. There's no value. See, we need to understand in telling people this, even Christians, even the unbelievers, tell the unbelievers, you're going to come to Jesus. If you ain't going to follow him, if you're going to follow his word, mm-hmm. you're not going to have success at this. It ain't working.
Amen.
This is about a changed life. Do you really want to change life? Do you want to stay the course? What do you love? What do you want? Do you want to be changed?
Amen.
Asking people. Christians. We're praying for things in some Christians and ain't nothing going to ever change. We're wasting our time praying. Because they're saying Lord, but they ain't going to do what he says and they're not going to have success.
Amen.
It's not going to work. This is not being mean. It's just the way it is. You know?
Amen.
You don't put any money in the bank, you don't go down and draw it out.
Amen.
Somehow, the church world preaches you don't put anything in and God still gives out. Well, Jesus is going to shoot that right in the foot here. He's just going to tell you, that ain't working. But he goes on. Here's a person who does his words. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. This is a guy who hears what Jesus said and does them. You know what? Jesus is his Lord. He is submitted to the will of Jesus.
Amen.
He is submitted to Jesus' will. Jesus' words are his will. So he submits himself. He hears what Jesus says and he does it. He said he's like the man building his house who dug deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the floods arose, the stream beat venomously against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Or in other words, it was founded on the sayings of Jesus, of what he said. That can't be shaken. See, the word of God can't be shaken. It can't be moved. It's believed and you stand. See, I've heard people say, well, I believe the word, it didn't work. And I'm sorry, you didn't believe the word, or the word can be shaken. If you believed it and did it, it'll work.
Amen. Preach.
It'll work. My experience don't matter. The word is always right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Your experience ain't worth spit if it ain't lining up with the word.
Amen.
Let's be honest. Hey, there's times I had to stop and say, you know what? I need to change something. I ain't believing something right. I need to get in line because the word is always right. And you're not.
Amen.
Get over yourself. Because why? If you get over and start making excuses why things didn't work or that and that, you'll just stay in the same old place you're at. Nothing will change. What brings success, the word will always bring success. Jesus just said to him, if you do it by saying stuff, it works.
Amen.
He said, you can get in a storm and it'll still work.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
Hallelujah. There's one thing as I proved it over the years. I've been in some storms and it works.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It works.
Hallelujah.
See, you need to get to that place and stop and say, hey, say, there's nothing wrong with the word. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. It would have to be Ed. It would have to be me. Can't be the Word. It's impossible to be the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. Jesus went on to say, he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And so we should be speaking to people. See, this is one of the things that we're doing in ministry. And I can just say to you today, and it's not being me, it's just what Jesus said. If you don't do what Jesus has said, don't expect success.
Amen.
It ain't going to happen.
Amen.
It don't matter if you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talking to his disciples. These are the guys, or we would call them the so-called believer of that time. They're walking in line with the covenant. They're following the Messiah. And he tells them, the Messiah says, if you don't listen to my words, I ain't Lord and it ain't working. Okay? Now, I believe this one thing. We need to get blunt with people because they ain't picking up this sweet talk we've been doing.
Amen.
We need to just look at some people and say, hey, you need prayer? No, you need to get in line with the word. See, I'm praying and it ain't going to help you a bit.
Amen.
Your success is in you doing the word, not me praying. You guys have heard me say this so many times. See, you got to be your own best cheerleader. You can't wait for somebody else.
Amen. Preach.
Somebody else may not come along. Lord, I've been there. Nobody else is coming along. And you better not. It's just like this. You better know how to feed yourself.
Amen.
Because if you can't, you have this problem. Either you're lazy or you're a big baby. That's right, babies. Babies, we feed them. Why? You know, baby Christians, we have to feed them because they don't have, but they're supposed to come. They don't, there's no such thing as a guy been born again 30 years and still can't feed himself.
Amen.
No, he's a big problem. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's lazy. But see, we need to know I can't feed myself, then I must be a big baby.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to get out there. You got to learn to feed yourself. I learned this a long time ago. I learned to feed myself.
Amen.
I learned to take time to feed myself because you're going to walk in the Word. If you're going to walk, you're going to do it. You're going to have to set yourself. It is no fun. You know, most people, they want to, you know, the average Christian wants to go, they go to a church, wants to go to a church, and they're going to get fed from that church, and that's about all they do.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your life, you ain't going to ever walk where I do.
Amen.
I ain't saying this like I'm something special, but you won't walk where I do.
Yeah.
You'll never get there. You're going to have to feed yourself. I can't give you everything you need.
Amen.
Now, if you want to have church every day, and you're going to come and sit down, I can put a lot of things in you. But you ain't going to do that. So, you better learn how to eat.
Amen.
You better learn how to get into it. Because I tell you, we ain't living in fun times. You better learn how to eat.
Amen.
You know, you can sit and go online and listen to people. And decide, there's things God needs to talk to you about.
Yeah.
You better get studying and get into it yourself.
Amen.
Quit waiting for somebody else to feed you. I've never done that. It's one thing. I've learned how to eat.
Amen.
I've learned how to get things from God. I've learned how to study. You got to study things. You got to look at things. You know, I'm not one of these read through the Bible guys. You can do that. You have it. But you better have study. If you don't have study where you're in something you're talking to, it's like this. We were down at Randall Greer's. One of the things that Randall Greer, the Lord told him to tell people, spoke to us there, said one of the things the Lord said to him, what people are doing. He said, people are studying all kinds of things in the Bible and that stuff, whether they're studying end times. And he said, what they really need to help them in life, they're not even studying. He said, there's people need healing, and they don't spend time studying healing. They're looking at this, doing that, and the other thing. You ought to be spending time every day studying in the areas you need help in. You find out what you need to help, go to the Bible and find out what the Bible talks about yourself and feed yourself on it. You don't read it. I don't care how many healing messages you ever heard me preach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I have to go back over them. Do you think you ain't going to have to? You don't think you're going to have to get over the things? If you're in a place and you need something with your health, if you need money, you need to find out how to prosper. You need to get into it till you can get the prospering going. If you need peace of mind, you need to get in the place where after a while you can walk in peace of mind. If you can't get it, you don't know nothing about it. You don't know enough yet. Amen. I learned that.
Amen.
If it ain't working for me, then I need to dig at it more. I need to go after it more. I need to look at it. You know, Kenneth Hagin, when he was well, he would meditate on healing scriptures every day. I get people who are sick. You can't even get them to meditate on scriptures once a week.
Preach.
Well, pray for me. Well, praying's going to do so much, but it ain't going to do very much.
Mm-hmm.
Might keep you alive, but never get well. I want to get well.
Amen.
The Word works.
Amen.
If we build our house on the Word of God, of what He said, and that's where we lay the, there's a foundation to be laid. We keep trying to build houses. This is the church world today. Building houses, no foundation.
Amen.
It's all they do. Christians, no, every time trouble comes, it knocks them off over their feet. They're knocked down. Then they're trying to get back up again, haven't built a foundation. Folks, I'm preaching from experience.
Amen.
I've been knocked down.
Amen.
You don't lay a foundation of things. This is one thing is why I preach a lot around foundational things.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people think they're smart spiritually and ain't got a clue.
Amen.
They don't have a good foundation. But see, what made my parents a success, they didn't know a lot of the things I know as scripture, but boy, they had a foundation in them.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't move them off of it. You could drop the bomb on them and it wouldn't. Don't matter.
Amen.
It blew up everything around them, but they'd be standing there on their foundation. They ain't moving. They don't care what anybody else is doing. You know, they lived successful lives and they never watched TV or never listened to radio and the junk and all that. They lived it. They didn't have to. They didn't care what the government was doing.
Amen.
They didn't have a care in the world about it. Paid no attention to none of that stuff. Didn't know a thing. Didn't know nothing about smartphones or dumb phones or any kind of phone. They didn't care. We believe so many things. People today, you know, this success, they keep talking about, oh yeah, the end time's here and God's going to go out here and everybody's going to be able to see things and the world is going on in the end because we all have our phones and we all have our stuff and all of our technologies. You know what? We have developed technologies so God could carry out His Word. I am so fed up with Christians up to here and their stupid teachings and their stupid stuff.
Amen.
Like God, they're going to have to figure all this stuff out. So Jesus can't come back till the technology comes. You know, they're going to have to figure this stuff out. It's like, give me a life. Just follow the Word. Just build yourself. You can be, God will bless you. Hallelujah. There's going to be storms coming. There's storms happening. You're going to stand through them if you stay on the Word. You're going to stand. You're not going to fall.
Hallelujah.
How do we know? The Bible says it. Jesus said, He does not deserve to be called Lord if He lied at all and there was any kind of exceptions to the rule.
Amen.
He lied to His disciples. He didn't lie to His disciples.
Amen.
He didn't lie to me. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Ed, why do you call me Lord? Don't do what I said. Yes, sir, you're right. We're going to start. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We'll change that. Now I learned not to argue about it.
Amen.
He's always right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sometimes I think I am, but He's always right. Hallelujah. And get on to this thing. Get on to the fact. Hallelujah. Lay yourself a foundation. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be a genius about everything. Where's your security in Christ? Do you believe every good and perfect gift comes down from above?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God had me and had this happen to me because He's trying to teach me something. No. In life, living in life, you're going to have stuff happen. It's going to teach you something.
Amen.
There's one thing is I learned about sickness. This is what I learned about sickness. I want it.
Amen.
That's what I learned. Don't like it at all.
Amen.
Didn't take me long to figure that out. I didn't like it when I was a sinner. And stupid Christians sitting around and said, God made me sick trying to teach me something. Boy, I want Jesus now. Oh, I want to follow Jesus because I'll tell you what, I want to get sick. The foundation, calling Him Lord. Hallelujah. See, we were singing about, See, he's the one that redeemed us from the curse.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He didn't redeem you to be cursed. If you follow the word and we follow the word, I'm going to tell you, storms will come. There will be. Jesus didn't say, there's no storms coming. Everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to be playing ukuleles and singing tiptoe through the tulips. And you're going to be having a great time. Nothing will ever happen to you. It's going to be wonderful. Well, if you die and go to heaven, you'll have that. But that's the only way that's going to happen. If you live in this earth, in the world, Jesus said, there is tribulation. There's trouble. But I've overcome it. How did he overcome it? He just told us here how you overcome it. You do his word. The storm will come and the storm will go.
Hallelujah.
See, if you got a storm in your life, hey, the storm's going. I've had storms come, but they always go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I found this out. When I was missing it, if I just started getting in line with the word, the storm would come and go.
Amen.
And I'd be back. Hallelujah. I'm back. Hallelujah. See, he's the one that can make you stand, it says.
Amen.
You may fall, but he can make you stand. Hallelujah. See, the word, and this is why you move over on the word. You just get yourself settled. Jesus said it, that's it. That's one thing I always liked about John G. Lake. Jesus said it, he said, I don't care what anybody else has to say on the
Amen.
Subject, I don't pay no attention to him.
Amen.
Jesus said it, that's the end of the subject. Hallelujah. He's Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's Lord. He's Lord. If he said to us today, if you just do my word, you know what happened? Storms are going to come, but they're going to go by, and you're still going to be standing.
Amen.
See, it's such an important thing. So you watch like years ago and things that happened. I've often watched this because we had, in construction, years past, they did certain things in building foundations. And you'd find with houses and stuff, and even like you'd find these, like we have old bridges in America that are 200 years old and went through 50 different floods and they're still standing. And they build the stuff today that can't stand. And all their wisdom. All the stuff they got. But see, it isn't. See, it's one thing as those bridges, but foundation was everything. Foundation was everything. It wasn't something. You know, Jesus just told us, your foundation's everything.
Amen.
Your foundation is going to determine whether the house stands. Your foundation. See, get settled on that fact. You get in the Word, your foundation will uphold you. Things in life will tell you you're going under. Say, no, son, I'm standing.
Amen.
Now, one of the great falsehoods they used to have, and this is the things they taught kids, and you need to be careful what you teach kids, songs you have them sing. We were kids in church. They used to have, the wise man build his house upon the rock. Wise man. Then they sang the second verse, was build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just sorry. You can get to be a Christian, and you get washed away with the sinners. You don't get it. Jesus didn't say to these disciples, hey, because you believe in me, it's all going to be all right. No, you got to do the word. Something is about the word. We had kids singing lies. Mm-hmm. How about Jesus? And then what happens? They go through life and they keep failing and they say, this Jesus stuff ain't work. This Jesus stuff don't work. The churches did that to them. Put that stuff in them. Kids can understand the truth. You can take it to them and they'll understand it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We try to make up these last little, things that just give us a goosebump at the time. I want Christians to understand this fact. If you're not going to follow the word, you're going to get washed away.
Amen. Preach.
That's how people get washed away. People come to Christ and end up getting washed away. They don't follow the word. And after a while, they're back out. They're gone. Wow, they never follow the word. Word's something they don't want to do. I'm sorry. You can't make it work any other way. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you as you want to follow Jesus. Set your will to follow the Word of God.
Amen.
What are you going to will to do? It isn't always easy. Now, I'll just tell you, when I came into Christianity, I always think of having Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. And he'd go on to say this, if you don't ever suffer persecution, it's because you don't live godly.
Amen.
Why do you have to throw that on there? Hallelujah. Well, it isn't doing bad things. I get persecution and stuff just because of what I teach.
Amen. Preach.
You teach the truth, people ain't happy. A lot of people ain't happy. A lot of Christians ain't happy about the truth.
Amen.
They show it to them in the Bible, and they still ain't happy. You know, he told a story. A guy came along and said to him, complained about God with the thing, and he took the man to the Word, and he said, and this guy was supposed to be a, you know, real staunch Christian, and showed him what the Bible said, and he said, yeah, well, I saw that so-and-so said that to me, and that ain't what I want to hear. And he said, he actually threw the Bible, his, can't take his Bible down on the floor. That ain't what I want to hear. That's the way it is, whether we want to hear it. We're going through things in life and we might want things, but we got to stand on the Word.
Amen.
And that's our success, your confidence. See, the more you turn away from the Word and don't walk in it, you're going to get weaker. You're going to get weaker and you're going to be weaker in your faith. I watch people just slowly over time get weaker and weaker in the areas of faith. Slowly starting, not walking in the Word, getting weaker in their faith, getting weaker in their faith. Don't happen overnight. Some goes for years.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly get themselves weaker, weaker. After a while, they're not even in the Christian game anymore. They're not in, they're over there slowly just getting away from things that's not walking into it.
Amen.
So you gotta keep eating. You gotta keep eating.
Amen.
Number one, you need to feed yourself. Number two, you need to do this. I don't care how much you feed yourself the Word and you get it and you know what to do. If you don't do it, you will never be strong. Strength comes from doing. Strength don't just come from eating.
Amen.
You know what happens when you just eat and don't do anything? Yeah, you buy larger clothing. That's what you do.
Amen.
There are Christians walking around with enormous clothing and no strength.
Amen.
No spiritual strength. They don't have spiritual strength. Oh, they know. They can say all kinds of stuff. It's the doing. Strength is in the doing. You want to be strong in the Lord, you've got to do something.
Amen.
You get strong in the Lord and the power of His might, what does it say? Put on armor. What do you put on armor for? You ain't going to go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
You ain't going to sit down at the table.
Amen.
You're going to fight.
Hallelujah.
You're going to go do something. Put on the armor of God and do something. You'll build yourself in spiritual strength. That's why Jesus, see, all the, what Jesus said here all lines up with all kinds of things in the Word. You do the Word, you gotta do it. It's not good enough to, not good enough to know. You hear it, but you gotta do it. You hear it, you gotta do it.
Preach.
An exercise in the Word makes strong faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you want strong faith, do the Word.
Amen.
But here's like, just like if you went to a gym, it always isn't easy going through if you're on the machine and you didn't want to, man, this sweat, and I didn't really want to do that today. I didn't really want it. Yesterday I went out for a run, you know? And you just, you know, when I first start off, it's like, maybe we'll just do a little shorter here, you know? Because your body said, this ain't no fun. You're 73 years old. You're doing great. You're doing great. You're fine. You know? You know, you don't have an oxygen tank on or anything. You're doing pretty good, you know? You're doing all right, but you know you gotta keep. But you know what? Keep pushing on. You know, till I'm finished. I feel better than I did when I started. When I started, my last lap that I do is always better, and I don't feel as bad as I did in the first lap.
Amen.
See, it's not always easy. Man, doing the Word's not always easy starting off, but when you learn to do it, keep pushing through it, keep pushing through it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when I'm done, you see, there's one thing. So you need to understand this. We do from a church world, and sometimes faith people just knock psychology, but psychology, our soul is part of us. Our soul is so important that when you die, it's connected to your spirit. When you get to heaven, you're thinking just like you did when you left here. Whether it was right or your thinking's good or not, it's going to be the same. You get to heaven, you're going to either have a good attitude or a lousy attitude. When you get there, you're going to be the same. You ain't going to have this great attitude because you get to heaven. You'd probably be as annoying as you were if you were annoying here. They're going to have, you're going to have to get straightened out. And see, accomplishing things in the Word, just like just the natural. When I'm done running, I really feel good that I did it, and I went out and went through it. It affects your psychology. It does. It affects how you think. When you don't do anything, that affects it too. They found this out the studies that they've done. I like to read things about these studies. They found that people with depression, if they exercise, it actually works better for them than taking medication. Why? Because, see, you can take medication, but that's still not going to make you feel good about yourself and you ain't doing nothing. You take all the medication you want. You're feeling lame about yourself and don't do anything, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You done took the medication. Now you don't feel quite as bad, but you still don't like yourself. See, there's things we have to deal with our soul. You know, you might get it in the inside, but you need to get it in your mind and your way you think and how you operate. You need to get it in there. See, that's why doing things. God made us and developed us to accomplish and do things. This is why so many people, when they retire from life and they don't go well. They're bored. They're not accomplishing anything. They're not doing. They're not many times engaged with other people. They're not doing things. They're not doing. I'm sorry. God created us the types of being to be social. We're created. We're not being created hidden in a cabinet somewhere. Because why? It affects your psychology. You can't be. Your psyche can't be messed up and you be a great faith person. It ain't going to happen. God made us to achieve and to do things, and people need to get that. Having some success in life. You need to have success in life. You need to have success at things. You need to have some goals. What are you going to do? What are we doing with this? What is this about being a Christian? What is it? What is this thing here? Is it just, well, let's be nice and let's be, no. It's about some success in life. This is, bless you, it's about a walk in life that you can use this all the time.
Amen. Preach.
You can use it all the time in your life and walking. It'll bless, and it'll bless others.
Amen.
It's something we want it to overflow on other people. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing to be hidden. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we had in our attitudes and the way we think, we need it. We can't be these negative people. I'm going to tell you what, I don't like being Christians always grumping about what the government's doing. I just don't like to hear it and get around it. I don't like to be around it. I don't want to know what they're nutty and doing. I don't care what other people are nutty and doing. Hallelujah. Let's bless them. Let's throw something good out there. Let's do something. Let's be a blessing. Hallelujah. They get around, do crazy, smile at them and say, hallelujah. You know, God's good. You know, amen. You know, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. No, we're just mad at them because they're talking to them. Oh, they depress me. If you get depressed, it's because you chose it. Nobody can depress you. You set your will to be depressed. I don't care what they're doing. I had to deal with me in these things. Other people were affecting my life and I thought it was their trouble until God told me it was my problem. It's my problem. They're doing stuff, but I have choices what I let affect me. So now, what they're doing, it is. Can you imagine Apostle Paul? He had such a great, wonderful ministry. Everybody loved him, just treated him so good. It was everything else. You look at the wonderful letters that man wrote. Well, he couldn't be the average Christian in America today. Man, the letter he'd have wrote had done skinned them all. You know, you go through and you look, he wrote the Corinthians and he did skin them on some things, but he wrote a lot of really good, nice stuff to them to build them up. He didn't throw them under the bus and leave. Wow. Paul didn't quit. He didn't let what everybody else was doing affect his Christian. He was following God and loving it.
Amen. Preach.
I mean, he talked about all the beatings and stuff he got. He wrote those things down like, well, this is just what happened last week. I mean, she's like, what? He didn't let all those things. They didn't affect him. What affected him was Jesus. What affected him was the Word. If that meant, I have no choice in life but to live in a place of contentment if he could.
Amen.
With what he went through, and I've never gone what he through. I don't know anybody, I've never met a person yet here, you know, in the United States who's going through what Paul went through. And if he didn't have a right to be grumpy, you don't either.
Amen.
Now, I've been some places in the world where I've seen people who went through stuff like Paul did. Lived under cultures. And you know what? Never met a person that did that. Had a bad attitude. Never once. You want a bad attitude? Come to America.
Amen.
Hang around the Christians. You'll get one. No, there's a lot of wonderful Christians with great attitudes. Pick them out and find them. Hang with them.
Amen.
You know, you might have to deal with the others that don't hang out with a bad attitude. Because you don't want to get that on yourself.
Amen. Preach.
It makes you a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God do what he said. I'm going to tell you what. God will do for you. Jesus will never lie to you. Stand to your feet. He is your Lord. That's who He is. He's your Lord, and He is worthy to be called Lord for you today. Hallelujah. You do His word. He's telling us. He's not lying to us. There's trouble will come. Things will happen. Storms in life will come. Things will go on. But He said, you'll stand. Jesus said that. Jesus said, if you do His word, you'll stand. You know, you don't, I want you to get this. You don't need to know everything if you'll walk in the light that you have. I look back over some of the storms that I have in life. I didn't know 10% of what I know today. But God took me through because I walked in the light that I had.
Amen.
And overcame.
Thank you, Lord.
One of these people, you know what? We want to grow in the Word and we want to learn more and we want to. But the big thing is to walk in the light you have.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that. I can't walk in the light that somebody else has. I can only walk in the light that I have. You can't walk in the light that I have. There's things that I have the light on me. You don't have the light. You can't walk in the light of what you don't know. I'm responsible for the light that I have. You're responsible. Just walk in the light you got.
Amen.
Don't be deceived by people. Well, you know, I just don't know enough yet. And walk in the light you got. And if you do, God will give you revelation.
Amen. Preach.
He'll show you what to do. Those are the things that I learned over time. I just stood where I could, and sometimes it didn't seem it was enough. But I tell you, God gave me revelation.
Amen.
And it was enough.
Hallelujah.
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 And I just want you to get a hold of that yourself today. You don't have to, you know. Some people, well, I didn't go to, you know, to, you know, Bible school or a seminary and all that stuff. Well, that, some people, that's their destruction. Don't think because somebody went any place they know anything.
Amen.
Get over that one.
Amen.
I don't mean anything at all. Hallelujah. The Word of God. I have met some of the deepest Christians I've ever met were people who never went to Bible school, were never even any from a standpoint of intellectual. But I'll tell you what, man, there's things they had depth of the Word were phenomenal. What they understood and knew. Well, how did that happen? Because they got the whole same Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I was a baby Christian, and really a baby Christian, I'm literally a baby Christian. I just got born again. Had been over into devil worshiping and all that stuff, dealing with sorcery and all kinds of things. And I got saved, and you know, in our house, we had spirits would manifest themselves. I mean, one could talk to you about that day, you know. I got over messing that stuff and things happening, man, you know. See, I believed in the spirit realm. The church world I'd been around didn't believe in the spirit realm. It was all talk. It was all in a book. Didn't really happen. It was all in a book. And the devil didn't like it. Like I said, now Wanda wasn't saved at the time. She hadn't gotten saved. She had the kids. I got saved. So the devil didn't attack me. He came and attacked Wanda and the kids. They came, they got sick. And everybody was sick. They got sick. Nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. They're sick. Wanda's mom comes over to our house, walks in the door. She's completely fine. Walks in the door, has to throw up. And she said, now here, she wasn't saved at the time. She wasn't saved either, but she said this. She said, the devil's got a hold of this place. And I thought, well, you know, I had let him in. See, you need to understand there's things you let in. Well, see, I had let that in. That stuff was let in. Because you get saved, you know. See, the devil didn't mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
But he messed with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I went to work. And what am I going to do? But see, I'm a baby Christian. I don't know, but I hadn't read any of Kenneth Hagin's books on demons or any of that stuff. I hadn't read anybody's stuff. I hadn't listened to no teaching of that. I knew in the Bible it said about casting out devils. But, you know, I didn't have any experience in it and didn't really have a revelation of it. And this is what I want you to get across to this, because, see, wherever you're at and walk, God will show you if you'll pay attention. See, number one, you got to ask the right questions, you know. You know, some of you, and let me just say this to you. It'll be helpful to you. Some things you might be going through, you ain't going to see and change till you get enough information to ask the right question. Just asking questions isn't good enough. Asking the right question. See, I had to learn that in Christianity. I've learned along in things, and I'm asking God about stuff, but then I learned a few things, and I realized I never asked Him the right question. I wasn't getting information because He's responding to me according to what I ask, but it's not doing what I want. Well, but I went to the Lord. Here I am, a baby Christian. I said, Lord, I went to work. I'm working and standing up on an oven there, working on an oven. It's 500 degrees and you're standing up on the front of that thing. But you know what? I ain't paying no attention to that 500. All I'm thinking is about at home, my wife and kids are sick. And the devil is doing something here. You know, this thing's going on. What do I do about it? So I asked God. I said to him about it. And his reply to me was this, go home and throw him out. And I'm like, what? I just go home and throw. See, you know, God said to me, go home and throw him out. Now, I have a, you know, some people say, well, I'm going to go home and throw the devil out. Well, it's number one, that wasn't enough to bring me to faith to throw him out. He says, go home and throw him out. I got to know what the Word says about it.
Yeah.
See, some people say, well, I go home and then, and you know, next week they're still in the same mess. And I said, Lord, that sounds good, but how do you do that? See, I had been trained on how to bring demons. We didn't know that. They never taught how to get rid of them over on Sorcery. It was how to get them to manifest. They never told us the other side. I didn't know. I didn't know that part. So, I asked him, and the Lord started standing right up there. Scripture started coming to me. So at lunchtime, what I did, I didn't go eat. I went downstairs, had a Bible in my locker, and I looked up the Scriptures. Now that's a real event to a Christian. God talks to people and they never look in the Bible to find out if it's true. You could hear a voice, it don't necessarily is God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, I went and sat down and I looked at the Scriptures. And I went home, you know. I'll tell you what, I was so fired up. Now I'm on second shift. So I'm getting home. I hit home. I get leave work at 11 o'clock. Our shift ends and I'm going to hit home. Be there about 11:30. And I'm like, oh, man, I'll tell you. I got on the armor. I really do. I'll never forget this. Parked my car. Walked up, opened the front door of the house. And when I threw that door open, there was an energy that came out that door. And I'm going to tell you, it felt like every hair in my body and part of my skin went... I mean, first thing that came to my mind was, you need to go get in the car. it wanted to scare me. But you know what you got? There's something on the inside. And this is real. If you walk in the light, God will help you.
Amen.
See, most people are like, well, can I do this? All of a sudden, inside of me, there was an anger rose up. I just got downright mad. I know how Jesus got the whip out. Something on the inside just right. It wasn't my flesh. Something on the inside. I said, I went, devil, you get out of this house in the name of Jesus. I never thought about it at the time, but, you know, I often wonder what Wanda thought, this crazy man. And she ain't born again. I come trotting through the house in the name, walk through the downstairs and the upstairs and tell the devil to leave. And you know what he left? Everybody got better. But what I want you to get from us, see, I didn't know. I'm walking in the light that I have. God will meet you with the light. Most people, here's the problem in the charismatic folks. They're always trying to get a ton of light before they do anything. They always want. They got to get everything explained to them before they'll act. Now you act in what you got. You're not going to get more till you do what you know to do.
Amen.
You don't need any more. This is a life of faith. Mm-hmm. See, I had to act on what I had.
Right.
And you know what? The wonderful words of Jesus came to pass just like he said. Hallelujah. We dealt with the storm.
Amen.
Dealt with the storm. And I just want to encourage you. He'll do the same for you. You just walk whatever you're in. You might think, well, man, this thing is just too big. It's not too big. It's you and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
God, the Holy Ghost is inside of you.
Amen.
Do you need more power than the Holy Spirit? Do you need something greater? Hallelujah. He will bring the Word to life in you. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you today. Thank you so much for the wonderful, great Holy Spirit that you put in us. I thank you, Lord God, that these words that Jesus spoke, Lord God, that they become life to us. Lord God, they're not a rebuke to us. They're a direction of life for us. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we can trust. Lord God, we can have confidence in Jesus today no matter what. Hallelujah. That truly, He is a wonderful Lord to follow. He's a wonderful Lord. Oh, that Jesus, we want to be led by You. We want you to speak to us. We want You, Lord God, because as the scripture said, there's many voices out there. And Lord God, we sure do live in the land of voices today. Oh, the voices and all over, voices of everything, people, direction of all kinds and all kinds of things. But Lord God, I want to thank You. There's a direction that comes from the Word of God that is led by the Spirit of God. And Father God, that You said Your sheep hear Your voice.
Amen.
And they won't follow another. Jesus, You said that. It has to be true. So Jesus, for myself, I declare, I hear Your voice and I'm not following something else. I'm going to hear Your voice. I'm going to hear You speak to me. When You hear, I'm going to hear and then I'm going to act. Hallelujah. I'm going to act. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I don't have to be afraid of the storms. We don't have to fear the storms. We don't have to worry. The storms come and beat. They knock. Hallelujah. Lord God, things are flying through the air. It seems like things are getting torn up. Lord God, we see, Lord God, it seems the neighbor's roof went off. But hallelujah, Lord God, our roof ain't coming off. We're standing, Lord God. We're standing, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I just want to say thank You, Lord God. Lord God, if You're for us, who could be against us? So we thank You today. We said ourselves, we're going to be, as Jesus said, don't be a doer of the word, not a hearer only.
Amen.
So we're going to be doers because the doer of the word is blessed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank You. Thank You, Father, today. Father, I thank You that the ones here today, they're being strengthened.
Amen.
Lord God, no matter what they're going through, Lord, I don't care if they slipped and fell. You're the one that makes them stand.
Amen.
You pick them up, Lord God. You don't kick them when they're down. Hallelujah. You take a hold of them and make them stand. Holy Spirit, I thank You. You're revealing the word to them today of what to do, where to walk. Hallelujah. Lord God, You're strengthening and make them stand. Lord God, Lord, and there's ones, Lord God, they stand as best as they understand. They're standing, Lord God. Hallelujah. But Lord God, I thank You that You're giving them revelation today, understanding today, Lord God, that they can stand in a stronger place and in a stronger way. Hallelujah. Father God, You're building them up today in the name of Jesus. Father God, they're going to overcome. Lord, they may be in a situation, don't look like You can overcome, but You're the God who is the overcomer, and they can overcome in You. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Lord God, they will in the name of Jesus. They will stand strong. Hallelujah. Lord God, they will be bold concerning the Word. Lord God, they're going to be a people of strong will. Hallelujah. Concerning the Word of God, not to move off. Hallelujah. But Father God, to stand on the Word, to be a blessing to others. Oh, Father God, Father, if anything, I want people to see in this world that there is a people of God who can stand through trouble. A people of God who can stand or unmoved by the things that are going on. That they're going to walk in love and we're going to rest and in peace, Lord God. No matter what is happening, whatever's going on. Lord God, that we're going to set a standard of stability in this nation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, that people can look to. There's so much shifting. There's so much, Lord God, that's falling apart and people don't know where to stand. But Lord God, I thank You in this day and time, they will find the place to stand. And we will preach a gospel that makes them stand. Hallelujah. Not a gospel of weakness, but a gospel of strength. Hallelujah. That gives ability to man to overcome in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank You for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, it is a privilege, an absolute privilege to be born again. It is privilege, Lord God, to be under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the great, wonderful, good shepherd. It is absolute privilege and an honor, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, of Your great love for us, of the position that You put in this earth to be a blessing. It's just like what You did for Abraham. How much more would You do for the church today to be a blessing to the nations of the earth? Hallelujah. Lord God, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Hallelujah. Because of the believers who, Lord God, they call You Lord and they hear Your words and they do them and the nations will be blessed. And I thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.